Only smart people get up early enough to listen to the Francine Marie Show. So thanks for listening, smarty pants.
Oi, Billy! Oscar! Dave! Get up! Francine Marie Show's on!
Good morning, thanks for joining us. Well, well, well. When was the last time you went to a yoga class? For me, honestly, I was the woman in the back of the class, just trying to sit Indian style. But today we're going to break yoga down so that I can get back to class, you can get to class, and the world will be a better place. Joining us this morning to talk about it is Marianne Daly. She's a yoga enthusiast. Good morning.
Well, good morning, Francine.
Also, we have Karen Heffron. Gosh, her journey started, 19 years ago when she decided that she needed to find an exercise to reduce stress in life. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
And also, Manasi Gokhale. She is from India, birthplace of yoga, and her first yoga teacher was her mom, her guru. Good morning.
Good morning, Francine.
Aw, love your voice. So how's everybody?
Doing well, good. Thank you.
Yeah. What is it? Namaste? Do I say namaste in the beginning to say hello or at the end to say goodbye?
You can say both.
Yes.
Okay. Cool.
It really is more of a greeting and an acknowledgement that we are all equal in our beings.
I bow to your greatness and you bow to mine.
Yeah.
You say India was the first place where it was birthed.
Yes. India has been the birthplace of yoga, and we've been practicing for thousands of years, and the scriptures all come from the sacred scripts. And then there was this saint called Patanjali who brought all these scriptures together and made something called Yoga Sutra. So sutra means a thread, something that's interlocked, and that's how the book came. It's not like a guideline, and that's the beauty of about yoga. It's experimental. Then it's experiential, so because it cannot be really practiced until you experience it and until you practice it. So it's like a round circle.
Marianne, can you attest to this round circle?
I can attest to the absolute wonders of yoga and the attributes of yoga. I can attest to what it's done to my life.
So from like day one, right?
Absolutely, day one. The first class that I took was from Karen. And the second class that I took was under Manasi. And I was looking for a way to de-stress myself since I was no longer working. Something that could help me become more flexible because I had lost quite a bit of it. Something that could bring me back to earth. And I took a class from Karen. I introduced myself to Karen. I introduced myself to Manasi. And I recognized that these two individuals had something to teach me beyond just yoga, that they were passionate about yoga. And anybody that is that passionate lives what they are teaching me. And I had to pay attention. I wanted to grasp and internalize what they believed. I have just enjoyed what they've taught me, and I've enjoyed the passion that they've also shared with me. And it's been nothing but good.
Good for muscle mass, right?
Oh, absolutely. The physical aspect of it, the spiritual aspect of it, there has been nothing but good from what I have learned from yoga and what I have taken away every time that I leave. I walk out the door and I say, oh, Marianne, you are so brave, because that's exactly how I feel. And I leave feeling good about myself.
There are a variety of practices, what we call yoga practice, because it is a practice. We go and we learn and we explore. And what I would say also is that yoga is actually, it's a Sanskrit word. Sanskrit is an ancient Indian language. And the word yoga actually means union. And the union or the yoking is of our minds and our bodies and our spirits. So that's why I think yoga is so unique, is that it's not just a physical practice. It is a practice of balancing those elements of our minds and our bodies and our spirits so that we can feel good. I mean, the whole essence of yoga is, and I remember when I first started studying yoga, it was eliminating suffering. And suffering, you might think, is somebody that's, you know, in a corner somewhere. But it's anything that makes us uncomfortable. And so most of us do have ups and downs in life. And it's not about getting rid of all the things that are not comfortable, but it is how we react to those uncomfortable moments. And we know that we're going to have some difficult times. But yoga helps us be grounded. It helps us move our bodies through space and move space through our bodies so that when we are facing difficult times, we can then respond to them instead of reacting to them. Now, this is something that I, Marianne said, I'm very passionate about, not only as an adult, but I think it's something that we need to teach our kids. I am finding that even in elementary school age, kids are under tremendous amounts of stress. And yoga is a tool that we can use by breathing, by moving, by experiencing healthy feelings of kindness and compassion, of empathy. And when you practice those types of feelings and emotions, those grow in you. And as they grow and nurture, and as we water those, as we call them seeds, and those seeds start to blossom, then you then affect other people. And that's when Marianne said, so I want my objective as a teacher is not only to share my experiences, but also for my students to come in, to take an hour, or whatever that time is that they have, to let go of what's holding them back from being their most authentic self, and to go out the door feeling better, and taking what we learn on our yoga mats into the world so that we are more compassionate and kind people, both to our families and our community, and, you know, planting those seeds of peace that I think we all need a little more of.
I can see those seeds in your hand now. Just spread them everywhere. Blow them out.
Toss them.
Yeah.
Yes. Let them sprout. Let them grow. And the only way for things to grow is to nurture it. We've got to continue to nurture that. But yoga is also more than just a mind, body, spirit. I think people who really come to the yoga mats have a story, have a reason. I have a lot of my students say, my doctor told me to come because of stress. And it is a way, just with breathing techniques, we can lower our stress response and invoke what's called the relaxation response. It's a parasympathetic part of our parasympathetic nervous system. So just by breathing, mindfully and intentionally breathing, we can lower our blood pressure, lower our heart rate. We can help improve our immunity and our digestion. We can help release these feel-good hormones into our bloodstream, reducing the amounts of adrenaline and cortisol that is that underlying toxic level of stress. Like I said, I see this in kids. I mean, I volunteer at the middle school in my area, and we've been doing just relaxing, breathing, visualization, practicing something called yoga nidra, which is a wonderful practice of scanning your body and letting everything just relax. So where your attention, when you focus on a part of your body, when your attention goes there, your energy goes there. And yoga is an energetic energy, releasing, moving energy through our body. So I'm, you know, like I said, I just really feel like we should be teaching our kids how to live their lives. Not necessarily, you know, all the other academics, great, wonderful, but we need to teach them to be compassionate to themselves, compassionate to others, and let those seeds grow.
What if CMS brought yoga, certified yoga teachers, into the schools?
I think it should be part of the PE curriculum.
In class, in schools today, they have started incorporating a little. They give them, after every half an hour, they give them 1 minute of quiet time. They're supposed to sit there and just close their eyes, and they play really nice meditative music. That's what my son tells me. That's what they do in school. So they're getting there. But I think it's really what Karen said, because I've been teaching children yoga since 5 years now, and it's so wonderful to teach kids because they are sponges and they question you, and that is what yoga demands. Like that is the best thing I love about yoga, is that it has no boundaries, no religion, no caste, no color, no country. It does not belong to anybody. It can belong to you as much as it belongs to me. It depends on how well we embrace it. And because it asks you to question, it doesn't ask you to believe it. Like, believe that this is good for you. No, you do it, experience it, feel the difference, and then say, yes, yoga makes a difference for me. And that's where I like when children come in and I say, no, you have to do this like this. He said, why do we have to do this? And then because in class nobody's like, why do we have to, we are doing it because everybody's saying yoga is good, but children will question you, like, why should I be doing the left nostril first and not the right nostril? Then I have to go back, do my homework, and then come back to the kids. So,
and your mom was a teacher.
Yes,
she taught you.
Yes. So I in India we had yoga in school. We have mandatory yoga in school, and that's where we begin. But we see it everywhere around us. And this is, I'm talking about 25, 30 years ago. Like when I was growing up, even now today, you go out in the parks and people are just doing yoga everywhere. But people are doing it at home. And it's not more of a class thing there. You do not have yoga studios that you go to because everybody is doing it in the house. It's just passed on. And you go to a smaller, you go to a single guru. So where I learned, I went to one person, a guru that you call a teacher, and he taught me. And it's less of a, I would say, less commercial and less of a business in India. So it's not really seen as a career. It's seen more as a way of life. Everybody does it, uses it. And that's what I always say, that you come to the mat and yoga is not just to be practiced in the four walls. You practice it when you're driving. You don't honk. You don't get angry if somebody cuts you off. That's yoga. That's what you've learned. If you're going to yell and shout, then that yoga has done really no good to you. So yoga is really to be practiced outside those four walls.
Karen, yes. You know my best pose? Child pose.
And that's a perfect pose.
Yes.
Absolutely. If anything, that is sort of the essence. There are a lot of practices, actually, that start with child pose, and then they'll go through their practice, and they end in what's called savasana, which is also called corpse pose. So it really is a from birth to death, and yoga is really a way of living. But back to the school, and yoga infers a lot of different areas, mind, body, spirit. But in terms of the school, I have suggested when I go into schools that at least start with a few minutes of deep intentional breathing.
Yes.
And I know in my kids were racing off to school. I was just hoping that they got there safely. They raced to their class. Their hearts are racing. They're, you know, stressed out. Make sure they're not going to be late for school so they don't get a tardy and have to go to Saturday school, yada, yada, yada. And then they're expected to be there and learn. That's not how we learn. We're not in the receptive learning mode when our minds are distracted. So to settle ourselves down, you come to a comfortable seated position, close your eyes or have your eyes downcast, sit up nice and tall, breathe intentionally, just a few nice, deep, intentional breaths calms your system. So wouldn't it be great if all of our kids started off the day that way before a test, starting off a test, especially with all the EOGs and everything, and maybe even ending the day that way and maybe having an intention. Today is going to be a day of kindness. So every time you see somebody, say something kind or just smile, you know, act with kindness. So it doesn't have to be a full-blown hour yoga session. It can be just a few minutes. Can make a huge difference. As a matter of fact, recently I read an article. It was about children who are causing trouble and have to go into detention. Instead of detention, they're sending them to meditation. It has changed dramatically. These kids learn self-control. They learn emotional control. They are more open to learning and being receptive, which is what we want our kids to be. We want them to pay attention. We want them to be able to control those emotional outbursts. So our breath is an incredibly amazing tool if we just learn how to use it and we take a few minutes and to breathe. That's
so
right.
Riddle me this, ladies. What should a breath be? Inhaling through the nose, exhaling through the mouth?
It can be both. I usually start off my classes with inhaling through the nose, feeling. And I always talk about any time that you bring the senses, and I like to talk about mindfulness. Mindfulness is a type of meditation where you are aware of the present moment with no judgment, no attachment to the narratives in your mind, that you are just experiencing this very moment. So anytime you bring the senses, any of the five senses, into your attention area, you are being mindful. So I usually say, breathe in through your nose, feel the air as it's coming through your nostrils, visualize the breath as it's swirling through your sinuses and going down the back of your throat, filling up your lungs three-dimensionally. And then when you're ready, opening your mouth and sighing it out. And that's the way I usually do start off my practices and end my practices. But during the yoga experience itself, if you're moving through asana, a lot of people suggest breathing in and out of the nose.
Yes. So traditionally, yoga, my teacher used to say that throughout your practice, you do not open the mouth at all. Your mouth has no business in yoga. You just breathe from your nose and out through your nose. And most of the pranayams, that's the breathing exercises that you typically are done before a yoga practice begins, they're all done through the nose. But there are specific ones through the mouth. But only because what happens if you breathe through the mouth, it dries up and you need water, and you're not going to have, you should not be having water through when you're doing your yoga practice. So that's the whole nose thing. And then, like what she said about being present in the now, that's the first, in the Yoga Sutras, the first Yoga Sutra says, Atha Yoga Anushasana, means and now yoga. So it means that when you are done with all the things that you're doing in life, having children, being grandparents or whatever, going to school, finishing, you come on the mat, blank out everything around you and be present in the now. Because what Patanjali says is that yesterday is gone and tomorrow might never come, but today is what you have in your hands and that's what you need to do. So the now is the mindfulness, the being mindful of your present. Like, I'm here, I need to be present here, not think about when my kid's coming from school and what I should be feeding him or everything else. So usually in my class, when people come, members come, that's what I say. It's like, do not think of where, what is happening outside. Just when you're on the mat, it's just you and yourself and nothing else, and your breath. So your breath, you start when you're born, the first thing that you do, if you do not breathe, if the baby doesn't, he's given a slap or he's given a little pat so that he starts breathing, he takes his first breath, and at the end you exhale. So inhale as you come to the world, exhale as you leave it. So that's, the breath is your best friend, and that's what I always tell in your class, your best friend is nobody else but your breath, and you need to be understand it, and you need your breath to understand you, and you need to be in harmony. And that's the best thing that you could give yourself. Your best friend is your breath.
Love that saying, you know, you come into the world with an inhale, you leave with an exhale. Mm-hmm. That's your mantra. Yeah. That's your tagline.
Yeah, I just made that up.
Yeah.
I just set it up in my
hashtag. Yeah. It's amazing what it will do. I love that you introduced me, Marianne.
So Francine, yeah, you know what? When you said that you went to the yoga practice and never went again, I think yoga is for everybody and you just went to the wrong practice. Mm-hmm. So it's, yeah, you do not have to have your toes behind your ears. Trust
me.
That is not, that is yoga.
That's like
but
un-yoga.
That's not, yeah, but that's not really yoga.
I think he was trying to show out that
yeah
day. You know, there's some. I'm just going to say, some people that love to show off.
I usually tell my students that there's no place for ego in yoga.
Yes.
You leave the yoga.
And judgment.
Yeah, no judgment. Usually when the ego comes to play, you're trying to get into that full split. You're trying to do backbend. It leads to injury. So, yeah.
Oh, hot yoga. I know I got to let you go. Yeah. Hot yoga. I have tried that. I did like that, Marianne. Sweated it a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have tried several hot yoga sessions, and I do leave feeling good. I do, because I do enjoy the heat, and I do consider myself very brave when I leave.
Mm-hmm. Hot really started because Bikram Chaudhary, the one who started the hot, mm-hmm, he wanted to imitate the same weather, the climate that is in India. So year-round, most of the time, most of the places in India, because it's a tropical weather, it's hot and humid. So if you were, but even here in North Carolina, I step out to the pool and I work out and I'm
sweating. Did you feel this summer's heat?
Yes.
Yes.
So you could do hot yoga outside. You don't really need a studio in summer.
And the other thing I will say about the variety of yoga types and traditions. So you have your regular vinyasa yoga, sort of a flowing yoga. You've got yin yoga, which is a very passive complement to a more active practice that really gets into the joints, the connective tissue. Gentle yoga, basic yoga. There's chair yoga. There's levels of yoga for any and all body types and body abilities. I've had some teachers say, if you can breathe, you can do yoga. Again, yoga, yoking, mind and body and spirit.
Did you say chair yoga?
Yes. So BKS Iyengar was like a great yogi. He was a great yoga master. And his institute has, they use all kinds of props. His only, what he always said was, nobody can be denied yoga. And because you do not have one arm, no, you can come and do yoga. We can use the props and help you because you have arthritis, because you have both your knees replaced, both your hips replaced. No, we can always find ways to do yoga using a chair, using a bolster, using straps, using the wall. Mm-hmm. And that's what that is what I really love so about him.
Yeah. So the chair yoga is offered for a number of seniors or if you are in a rehabilitation type of thing. And there's also restorative yoga, which brings us back to balance. So there's a wide variety of types and styles of yoga and teaching, as well as breathing methodologies.
So all I want to do in life is open my hips because they seem to be tight as I don't know what.
We store a lot of emotional tension in our hips.
Yes.
Oh, yes. I got an emotional issue.
A lot of our emotions are manifested through our body, different parts. So if you're if you do not like to face issues, then your heels hurt. You're a runner. If you have a lot of financial burden, then your shoulders have chronic shoulder pain. That's financial burden. But hips are all the emotional baggage is carried here, right here.
Someone told me that women that have bigger hips than, you know, the average bear has a lot of daddy issues. I don't know if that's true, but that sounds like emotions, right?
Yes.
What about back aches? You know, everybody's got that back thing. What is that associated with? Stress?
Probably not moving. It's really important for us to move our body through all the various ways that we can. So we want to move our, especially our spine. We need to be able to move both flexion forward and back, side to side, laterally, and then also twisting. And when we do that, you are getting into the joints, again, the connective tissue, something called fascia, which is our largest sensory organ. And if we don't move, that's when we come either through injury or immobility or inflammation. That's when we start to hurt. So we've got to be able to move our body and make sure that we maintain our range of motion through our joints and through the musculature.
I'm getting their information. I'm going to class. You have inspired me, and I bet a bunch of other people today. Marianne, thank you.
Oh, well, Francine, you are most welcome, and you have absolutely had the honor of meeting two amazing people. And what I just want to add is I went into yoga hoping to get just a couple things, and I received so much more that I didn't even know was there. And I'm one person, and I know there are many more that probably feel the same way, and there are many more out there who need this because it truly is inspiring, and it in a way it's healing as well. And there have been times that I've listened to Karen and what she is sharing at the end and her messages, and truly, I feel like they were meant for me. And I've listened to Manasi at the end, and I'm thinking I was meant to be here today. And to miss some of these classes, which I've had to, it's been difficult. So you can't help but be better inside and be better outside. I cannot say enough about yoga. You've got to experience it for yourself.
I am definitely coming to class. I want to thank our guest today, Marianne Daly, our yoga enthusiast. I want to thank Karen Heffron. She began her journey over 19 years ago when she decided, I am going to do an activity to manage the stress in my life, and she's done it. Manasi Gugle from India, the birthplace of yoga. Her first teacher was her mom. Thank you so much. You've been teaching for 8 years now.
Yes.
I'm a believer. Okay, your 1 hour Public Talk Radio is up. I do not know where the time goes, but hopefully you learned something. Are you going to yoga class now? I hope so. You still got time. I am your hostess and the mostess, Francie Marie. I will see you next weekend, same time, same station. And until we meet, darling, I want you to have a good week.
Thank you for joining us for the Francie Marie Show, where we address issues concerning you and your family.
That's all for now. See you next week.
Pop, it's showtime. 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 Guess who's back again?
Know to get the color red, the blue. Ooh.
only smart people get up early enough to listen to the Francine Marie Show. So thanks for listening, smarty pants.